This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisavoy, and in Kisavoy we have the blessings and the admonitions. Our shir today is going to be focused on chapter 28, verse number 3. But before we do that pasuk, we'll start with chapter 28, verse number 1, so we understand the context of what is written. The pasuk starts, V'ayim shomoya tishma bekoil Hashem Elokecha. It will be that you hearken to the voice of Hashem, lishmor, to observe, lasois, to do, to perform, as kol mitzvois of all His commandments, asher anochi metzavcho hayom, that I command you today, unesancho Hashem Elokecha elyon al kol goyei haaretz. Hashem will make you supreme over all the nations of the world. Pasuk number 2 says, uvo alecho, then, once you listen to the voice of Hashem, will come to you, kol habrachos ha'ole, all these blessings, v'yisigicho, and they will overtake you, kisishma bekoil Hashem Elokecha, when you will listen to the words of Hashem. Meaning, normally a person is not supposed to be doing mitzvahs in order to get rewards, in order to get blessings, because the Mishnah in the first perik of Avos, Mishnah Gimel, says, Antignois ish soicho kibel mishima tzadik, that Antignois ish soicho received from mishima tzadik, who I oimer, he used to say, al tiu ka avadim mesham shimesorav amanas lekabel pras, that you should not be like servants who are serving the master in order to receive a price, in order to receive reward, meaning that we're not supposed to worship Hashem in order to receive reward. We are supposed to worship Hashem only because Hashem told us to do this mitzvah, to do this deed, and out of love to Hashem. But here Hashem is telling you that if you follow the words of Hashem, then the blessings are going to overtake you, and you won't have to worry if you are getting reward or not. Because since you are experiencing the blessings, it will be easier for you to continue to perform the mitzvahs. The other interpretation is that the blessing will come even when there is no logic or nature would say that this blessing should never happen. Nonetheless, Hashem is promising you that the blessing will reach you. And alternatively, the Rechaim HaKodesh explains that this is meant that certain times Hashem wants to give more than the person deserves, meaning that you behave properly, but still you don't deserve to get such bounty. You don't deserve such extraordinary reward. For example, if a child behaves properly, he doesn't deserve to get such prizes. He deserves to get reasonable prizes, but not such great prizes. Therefore, in heaven, the Midas Adin, the heavenly court, tries to block Hashem from giving extraordinary prizes that Hashem wants to give to the Jewish people, because they claim that true that they deserve reward, but they don't deserve extraordinary reward. Therefore, the pasuk is telling you here that if you follow the words of Hashem and you listen to Him, then Hashem will make sure that these extraordinary rewards that Hashem wants to give will reach you, that the Midas Adin, that the heavenly court, won't be able to block Hashem from giving these extraordinary rewards to the Jewish people, because Hashem will make sure that even those extraordinary rewards will reach you and you'll be totally blessed. And now we come to the pasuk that is going to be the focus of our shir. The pasuk says, Baruch ata ba'ir, you should be blessed in the town, in the city, uvaruch ata basada, and you should be blessed in the fields. The simple interpretation means that wherever you are, you should be blessed, whether you are in the city or you are in the field. The Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Kof Zayin Omed Alev 107a, asks, what did Rav do regarding this pasuk? Meaning, how did Rav interpret this pasuk? And the Gemara says that Rav interpreted the pasuk Baruch Ata Bo'ir, that you should be blessed in town, Shetehei Beischa Samuch Lebeis HaKnesses, that your house should be close to the shul, to the place of prayer. The simple interpretation is that in the old days the shuls were outside in the fields. Here Rav is saying that Hashem is giving you a bracha that your house should be close to the shul, that the shul should be in town, that you don't have to go far to go to shul. And this is meant by Baruch Ata Boir, that you should be blessed in town, meaning that you should be able to remain in town when you go to shul. Sefer Toras Chaim interprets Rav's statement that your house should be close to shul based on the Gemara in Masechtas Brachas, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, 47b, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Le'oilam Yashkim Odom Lebeis HaKnesses, a person should always make sure to come early to the Beis HaKnesses to shul, Kedei Sheyizke, in order that he should merit the Imna, and he should be counted im asara rishonim with the first 10 people who come to shul. Because the Gemara says that if 10 people come to shul, then the Shechina is there. They bring down the divine presence to the shul. The Gemara says, why be from the first 10? Shafilo meyo boim acharov, that even though 100 people afterwards will come to shul, still kibel olav schar kulam, these first 10 people who come to shul receive the rewards of everybody who comes later to shul. The Gemara doesn't accept this statement, because how is it possible that anybody will come to shul after those 10 people won't get any rewards? Meaning, according to the statement we just made, only these 10 people will get the rewards for everybody else who comes later. But the people themselves, if they are amongst the 100 and not amongst the 10, they themselves seemingly won't get any reward. The Gemara asks, how is that possible that those people should not get any reward? The Gemara answers, Elo Ema sayet noisin lo ischar keneget kulam, that the first 10 people come to shul get greater rewards for just coming to shul. They get the rewards equivalent to all the 100 people who come later. The 100 people will get rewards for coming to shul, but those first 10 people, not only do they get rewards for coming to shul, they get rewards equivalent and measured according to as many people as came to shul later, meaning that their rewards are huge. Therefore, says Sefer Toras Chaim, that this is what Rav means by having your house close to shul. That if you have your house close to shul, then you'll be able to be amongst the first 10, because you have less distance to walk, you're able to come faster to shul than anybody else. Then according to Sefer Toras Chaim, the bracha Baruch Ata Boir, that you should be blessed in town, means that you should have your house close to shul, so you'll be able to come faster to shul, you'll be amongst the first 10, and then you get the rewards equivalent to all the people who come later, and that is the blessing of Baruch Ata Boir, you should be blessed in town. Rav continues, explains what is the blessing of Baruch Ata Basoda, you should be blessed in the field. Rav says, Shetehei Nechosecho Kroivim Loir, that your fields, your property should be close to town. Rashi says that you shouldn't have to struggle to bring your properties to town to sell, meaning if you have your fields and you have your produce growing, then you won't have an expense and you won't have to struggle hard to bring this produce to town to sell. That is the bracha Baruch Ata Basoda, you should be blessed in the fields, that your fields should be close to town. Also, if you have your fields close to town, it is easier to supervise and it is easier to ascertain the needs of the field. Like that, you'll be able to increase the productivity of your time and of your field. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with this interpretation of Rav, because Rabbi Yochanan in Soita Daf Chav Beis Amud Alef 22a says, Lomadnu Yiras Chet Mi Besula, that we learn fear of sin from a maiden, the kibel schar melmona, and a receiving of reward from a widow. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan once heard a maiden that she fell on her face and she prayed Ribono shel Olam, Hashem, Baraso Gan Eden, you created the Garden of Eden, Uvaraso Gehenem, and you created the Gehenem, the Purgatory, Baraso Tzadikim, you created righteous people, Uvaraso Reshoim, and you created evil people, Yerosam Lifonecho, that be the will in front of you, Shleichosh Lubi Bnei Adam, that no man should stumble upon me, meaning that I shouldn't be the source of sin for man. Rabbi Yochanan was impressed by this maiden, that not only was she afraid from sinning herself, but she was afraid to be the cause of other people sinning. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that we learn through Yiras Chet, what's considered fear of sin, from this maiden. And the Gemara continues that Rabbi Yochanan says that he learned Kibul Schar Me'almana, the getting of rewards from this widow, because there once was a widow that used to come to Rabbi Yochanan's shul to pray, even though she had many Bata Medrashim in her neighborhoods where she could come to pray. One day Rabbi Yochanan decided to ask her, why do you come to my Beis HaMedrash? Why don't you go to your neighborhood shul? Whereas the widow answered to Rabbi Yochanan, don't I get rewards for walking? Meaning that I come specially far in order to get rewards for my steps. The further you walk to shul, the more rewards you get, because Hashem gives you reward for each step that you take. Therefore, this widow, even though she had a shul close to her home, but nonetheless she wanted to get rewards for her walking. So therefore she came to a far Beis HaMedrash, she came to Rabbi Yochanan's Beis HaMedrash. Nonetheless, we see from here that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's not good to have a home close to the Beis HaMedrash, because if you have your home close to shul, you will not get the reward for walking. Therefore, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav and holds that Baruch Ata Bo'ir has a different interpretation. The Gemara says that Baruch Ata Bo'ir, you are blessed in town, according to Rabbi Yochanan, means that you should have a Beis HaKisa Samuch LeShulchanecha, that you should have a bathroom close to your table. Rashi explains that in the old days they didn't have internal plumbing. If somebody needed to go to the bathroom, had to go far away from town. Therefore, the bracha Baruch Ata Bo'ir means that you are going to have a bathroom close to town, that you won't have to go far away. And the reason that it's written Samuch LeShulchanecha, close to your table, is because going to the bathroom is specially important before you eat. Because the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Aleph, Omed Aleph, 41 says that if somebody has to go to the bathroom and eat, it's unhealthy. The fact that you are going to have now a bathroom close to your table, close to your home, that means that the bathroom now is more accessible to you, then you'll make sure not to eat if you have to go to the bathroom. And that is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the bracha Baruch Ata Bo'ir, that you'll be blessed in town, meaning that you'll be blessed, that you won't have to go to the fields to go to the bathroom, you'll be blessed that you could remain in town to go to the bathroom. The Gemara explains, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what is meant by Baruch Ata Basadeh. The Gemara says, Sheine Chosecho Meshuloshim, that you should diversify your planting, that everything you do in the field should be diversified, meaning that you should not plant one type of crop, you should diversify, you should plant one-third produce, one-third olives, and one-third grapes. And Rashi explains that if you plant this way, then chas v'sholom, you have a disease in one of your crops, you'll still be able to survive because you have diversified your products and the other crop will be successful. Comes out, according to Rashi, the interpretation of Baruch Ata Basadeh, that you should be blessed in the field, means diversify in order to assure that you will be successful in the fields. The Marsha doesn't like this idea, because that implies that you are going to have a plague and something is going to happen to your fields. Therefore, the Marsha says that Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that Hashem will make it that you'll be able to diversify. You'll have a third grapes, a third olives, and a third produce. Like that, you'll be able to survive on the things that you actually do, that you will be self-sufficient because you diversified, you planted these three crops, that will cause you to become self-sufficient. And that is what is meant, according to Marsha, Baruch Atabasode, that you'll be blessed in the field, meaning that you'll have all your needs from the field, from the crops that you planted, because you diversified. The Marsha is bothered of why did Rav and Rabbi Yochanan find it necessary to change the simple meaning of the Pasuk, meaning, as we mentioned previously, when the Pasuk says, Baruch Atabair, that you'll be blessed in town, Baruch Atabasode, that you'll be blessed on the field, you could simply translate that Hashem is telling you that the blessing will come no matter where you are, whether you are in the towns or you are in the fields, the blessings will reach you. Why did Rav and Rabbi Yochanan find it necessary to change from the simple meaning of the Pasuk? The Marsha answers that since it's written previously that all these blessings will come and they will reach you, obviously it will reach you wherever you are. Why does the Torah again have to say you'll be blessed in towns and you'll be blessed in the fields? Plus, the Pasuk could have just said, Baruch Atobair Ubasode, that you'll be blessed in town and in the fields. Why does the Torah have to say you'll be blessed in town and you'll be blessed in the fields? Therefore, the Marsha says that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan had to find an additional thing that Hashem is blessing the people by. That this is not a general blessing that you'll be blessed in the fields and in the house. Hashem is alluding to a specific blessing that applies to the towns and a specific blessing that applies to the field. Therefore, Rav interprets that when it says Baruch Ata Bo'ir, that you'll be blessed in town, means that your house is going to be close to shul, that when you're in town, you'll be blessed additionally, that you're going to have your house close to shul. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the blessing is going to be that you're going to have a bathroom close to your house, that when you're in town, you'll be able to go to the bathroom. And Baruch Ata Basoda, you'll be blessed in the fields, according to Rav, means that the fields are going to be close to you, that you'll be blessed even when you have to go to the fields, which means that they'll be close to you. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, means that the fields will give you a diversified product, like that you'll be self-sufficient. This Gemara in Baba Metzia is written in regards to a statement brought down by Rav Avu, Maravuna, Omar Rav. There the Gemara says that Rav himself says that Osu Loila Odom Shayamoy Dal Soda Chaveroi, that a person is not allowed to stand next to the field of his friend, Besho Shomedes Bekomoseyu, when it's ready to be harvested. Meaning, Rav aspires to the concept of evil eye, that sometimes a person may look at something that belongs to somebody else and either be jealous or inadvertently comment how beautiful that is. And that causes the evil eye, that causes the heavenly court to judge and see if that person really deserves this beautiful thing, or that person really deserves to have this field. Therefore, Rav says it's prohibited for a person to go in somebody else's field when the field is ready to be harvested, because at that point, since it looks so beautiful, it looks so plentiful, it is very hard not to give an evil eye. It's very hard not to feel jealous or not to feel admiration for that field. That could cause the evil eye to befall on that field. Therefore, it's prohibited for a person to stand next to somebody else's field when it's ready to be harvested, because he could give the evil eye in that field. The Gemara asks a contradiction, Rav to Rav, because Rav here explained that Baruch Ata Basada, that you be blessed in the field, means that your fields, means your produce, is going to be close to town. And if your fields are close to town, then people from the town will be able to see your fields, and then it'll come a time where it's ready to be harvested. And Rav says that a person should not stand next to a field that's ready to be harvested. How is that possible if your field is close to town and everybody in town is looking at it? The Gemara answers that Rav is talking about in the case where there is a fence. When Rav says, Baruch Ata Basode, that your fields will be blessed, that they'll be close to town, that means fenced in fields where nobody could look at them, those will be blessed if they are close to town. And in regards of open fields, it is true that if it's ready to be harvested, it's prohibited for anybody to stand next to it because it could bring Ein Hora. Sefer Shnois Chaim says that we could accordingly say that these are both one interpretation, meaning Baruch Ata Bo'ir, you'll be blessed in town, means that your properties will be close to town. Are you going to ask me if your properties are close to town? Then, according to Rav, there is going to be Ein Hora, an evil eye. Because now, when these properties are ready to harvest, everybody is going to see, and that will cause an evil eye. He answers that you don't have to worry about the evil eye, because Baruch Ata Basada, because you'll be blessed in the fields. Hashem is going to give to everybody so much, they'll have so much work, that they won't have time to stand and admire somebody else's field. They'll be so busy by the blessing that Hashem gives in the fields that you don't have to worry about Ein Hora, that now you could have your properties close to town and nobody will bother to look at your properties because everybody is going to be so busy with their own wealth, with their own money, with their own work, in order to get their produce, because it's going to be such plenty that nobody will bother to look at your properties, even though they are close to town. According to Sefer Shnois Chaim, the second part of the Pasuk, Baruch Ata Basada, answers why Baruch Ata Boir, meaning that you are now going to be able to have your properties next to town because Hashem is giving a blessing in the fields, therefore you don't have to worry about Ein Hora. Devan Ezra gives a simple interpretation on Baruch Ata Boir, and he says that you are going to get a special blessing in town, that you are going to find in town merchandise to buy cheap and sell, that you are going to have a lot of clients, and you won't have to go far away to get your panosa. And he explains simply that Baruch Ata Basada, that you be blessed in the fields, mean that you are going to plant and the fields will give good produce and they'll grow properly. Sefer Shnois Chaim gives another answer based on the Gemara in Ksubes Daf Kof Yud Omet Beis 110b. There the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to force your wife to move with you if you are moving from a big town to a small town, or you are moving from a small town to a big town. The Gemara asks, I understand that you shouldn't be able to force your wife to move from a big town to a small town, because goods and services are more accessible in a big town than a small town, since a big town has a large population, then more goods and services are available in that town, then your wife could argue that she doesn't want to struggle to find goods and services. Therefore, if a person wants to move from a big town to a small town, he's required to ask permission from his wife because she could say, I don't want to move to a small town. But why shouldn't he be able to force his wife to move from a small town to a big town? A small town technically doesn't have as many goods and services. A big town has goods and services. Then why shouldn't a person be able to force his wife to move to a big town? The Gemara answers, that's a proof to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. The Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says that Yeshivas Krochim Kosher, that living in big towns is very difficult. Meaning, because since a big town has a huge population, then everybody puts their houses close to each other. Wherever they find the empty space, they build. That deduces from the air traveling in town. The air gets stuffed up. And since the air gets stuffed up, and also in big towns you do not find gardens and orchards close to your house, therefore the wife could say, I don't want to move from my small town to a big town because I like to have the airspace, I like to have more gardens and more orchards. Accordingly, says Sefer Shnois Chaim, that this is what the blessing means by Baruch Ata Bo'ir, Baruch Ata Basada. Meaning that even though you are going to be Bo'ir in town, and normally in town you don't have good air and you don't have space for gardens and orchard, nonetheless, Baruch Ato, Hashem will give you a blessing that even though you are in town, you will still get room for the gardens and orchards, and you will also have good air. And the same thing, Baruch Ato Basoda, that if you are living in the fields, and when you are in the fields, you have little access to goods and services, nonetheless, Baruch Ato Basoda, Hashem will give you a blessing that even though you're in the field, you'll still have access to goods and services and everything will be good. The Medrash Tanhuma, Parshas Kisavoy, Siman Dalet, asks a question that technically should have been written the opposite, meaning that the society in previous years, in previous generations, were mostly agrarian. Meaning that from whatever it grows in the field, that's where the wealth came. The more fields you had, the more things you grew, the wealthier you became, the more renowned you became. Then, if you are going to be blessed in town, must be that you had mostly fields, that your fields were blessed. Then technically the Pasuk should have said, Baruch Ato Basada, that Hashem is going to give you a blessing in the fields, and if you get the blessing in the fields, then you'll be blessed in towns, because towns didn't have independent economy. Most people in town had fields, and they became wealthy from the fields. If that is true, then why does the Torah say the opposite? Why does the Torah say, Baruch Ato Boir, Baruch Ato Basoda, that you'll be blessed in town, and you'll be blessed in the field? The Torah should have written exactly the opposite, that you'll be blessed in the fields, because of that you'll be blessed in town. The Medrash Tanhuma answers that the Torah is giving you an independent message. The Torah is telling you that don't think that you have to give charity only in the field, that if a poor person comes to you in town and he asks you for charity, you'll tell him that he should wait until you bring your trumas, maisres, and you apportion the gifts to the poor that is obligated on the field. You should not say that. Your blessing is going to come, Boir, for the mitzvahs you make in town, independent of the field. That if you give out from your own pocket to the poor person, then Baruch Ato, then Hashem is going to give you the blessing. The main blessing, the strong blessing, will come when you give charity independently, and you give charities that are not connected to the field, that are not required by Torah law to give to the poor. Those charities are considered a source for blessing. If you do those charities, then Baruch Ato Ba'ir, you'll be blessed because of the charities you give in town. And also you'll be blessed, Besada, for the charities you give from the field. But mainly you'll be blessed by you giving the charities independently, by you doing these charities not connected to the grounds. You give from your own pocket because Hashem told you to open up your hand to the poor. That will cause you to get the blessing. Then the Medrash Tanhuma gives another interpretation, that Ba'ir means, in town means, for mitzvahs you make in towns, which means mitzvahs you make in your house. The Medrash gives an example, Kegon, Sukkah, Mezuzah, and Makkah. The mitzvah of Sukkah, putting a mezuzah in your door and making sure that your roof is fenced in, that nobody falls, these are mitzvahs you make in your house. Those mitzvahs in the house cause you to give a blessing in town. And Baruch Ato Basoda, and the blessings on the field come because of Leket, Shikcho, and Peya, the gifts you have to give to the poor from your field, those cause you to get a blessing on the field. The Medrash Rabba brings the same list on the mitzvahs that you make in the field, and he says those mitzvahs merit you to get a blessing. But when it's coming to the mitzvahs that you do in the towns, the Medrash Rabba brings the list, challah, the mitzvah of giving challah from your dough, tzitzis, wearing tzitzis, sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah, and Neir Shabbos, the mitzvah of lighting the candles of Shabbos. This list that the Medrash Rabba brings for mitzvahs of the town is very puzzling, because some of these mitzvahs apply anywhere, not only in town. For example, tzitzis you gotta wear anywhere. Then in what basis did the Medrash Rabba pick these mitzvahs? Sefer Divrei Sharachayim explains that Baruch Ato Ba'ir, you are blessed in town, Baruch Ato Basoda, you are blessed in the fields, means something very deep. Meaning that there are people that are very pious people. They are growing and they want to do the right thing. But when they come in companies of friends, when they come to town, they embarrassed to do the right thing. They embarrassed the friends are going to call him that he became too frum. They embarrassed the friends are going to tease him. They embarrassed that the friends are going to say that he became crazy. For example, a person could be davening bekavona with good intent, with good concentration. And davening takes long, but he is embarrassed when he is in a minyan to daven as long because people are going to say that he became too frum. For mitzvahs like that, the Torah is telling you, Baruch ato bo'ir, that you'll be blessed in town. Meaning that if you do those mitzvahs publicly, even though you go through humiliation and through embarrassment, nonetheless, because it's a mitzvah, because you took upon yourself, you will do them. For those mitzvahs, Hashem is giving you a blessing. Baruch ato bo'ir, you'll be blessed in town. And the same thing happens the opposite. That a lot of people are only religious when people are watching, but at home, in the fields, they are not performing the mitzvah. If people are seeing you, then you do the mitzvah, but in privacy, then you decide not to perform that mitzvah. Therefore, the Torah is telling you, Baruch ato basada, you'll be blessed if you do it in the field, which means in the privacy where you are alone, that when nobody is seeing you, only Hashem is seeing you, then you still perform the mitzvahs. For those mitzvahs, Hashem will give you special blessing. Then, according to this interpretation, we see that Baruch Ata Bo'ir refers to mitzvahs you do openly, mitzvahs you do in town, which means that everybody sees you doing the mitzvahs. According to Sefer Divrei Sharachaim, that could be the meaning of the mitzvahs listed by the Medrash Rabbah. Because all the mitzvahs listed by the Medrash Rabbah are mitzvahs that are known publicly. Meaning, the first mitzvah listed by the Medrash Rabbah is the mitzvah of challah. The mitzvah of challah is not the bread that we eat on Shabbos. Challah literally is the piece of dough that originally was supposed to be given to the Kohen. But nowadays, since we are ritually impure, we are required to burn a piece of the dough when we make a certain volume of dough. In the old days, when there was a Beis HaMikdash and we could purify ourselves, challah was given to the Kohen. If it was given to the Kohen, then there are more people that knew that you are performing the mitzvah. Therefore, challah became a public mitzvah because people knew that you gave challah. Tzitzes you are supposed to wear outside, then everybody sees that you are wearing tzitzes, that's a public mitzvah. Sukkah, everybody sees that you went away from your house and you make yourself a hut, that's a public mitzvah. And Er Shabbos is also public mitzvah because everybody is able to see there is light in your home on Shabbos. Then everybody knows that you lit the candles specifically before electricity time. Then everybody knew that if there is light, there must be a candle. Those are public mitzvahs. Therefore, the Torah is telling you, if you do the mitzvahs publicly, where you could influence others, where everybody could see that you were not ashamed about performing the mitzvah, those mitzvahs cause a blessing to come into the city. I wanted to answer in a simple way that the Medrash Rabbah is speaking as an example two mitzvahs that were given for women to make and two mitzvahs that only men make. Women are required to make three mitzvahs, which are the acronym Chana, which are Chala, Nida, and Hadlakas Haner. The separating the challah, the laws of Nida, and lighting the Shabbos candles are the three mitzvahs that a woman is responsible to do. And we also know that women are exempted from mitzvahs asei shazman groma, positive mitzvahs that are time-related, women are exempted. Therefore, the Medrash Rabbah is trying to hint to us that because of the merit of women and because of the merit of men, therefore the blessing comes into the town. Don't think that the blessing comes exclusively in the merit of the mitzvahs of men or exclusively in the merit of the mitzvahs of the women. The blessing in town comes in the merit of the mitzvahs that both men and women perform. Therefore, the first mitzvah that the Medrash Rabbah picks is the mitzvah of challah, which applies to women. The second is the mitzvah of tzitzes, which applies only to men because tzitzes is a time-related mitzvah, since we are not required to wear it at night. The third mitzvah that the Medrash Rabbah picks is the mitzvah of Sukkah, which applies again only to men, because a time-related mitzvah, it only comes during Sukkahs. Therefore, women are exempted from sitting in the Sukkah. And Hadlakas Aner, lighting the candles, which is a mitzvah that a woman makes. Therefore, the Medrash is implying that the Baruch Ata Boir, the blessing that comes to town, comes in the merit of the mitzvahs that the men make, and also in the merit of the mitzvahs that the women make. The Medrash Tanchuma continues, Davar Achar, another interpretation, Baruch Ata Boir, you should be blessed in the city, Zu Yerushalayim, this is Yerushalayim, because we find in Eichot, chapter 2, verse number 15, that Yerushalayim is called city, because the verse there says, Azoi Sohir, is this the city, Sheyoimru Kilas Yoifi, that they used to say, it's the perfect beauty, Mesois Kalores, the joy of all earth, meaning the Megillah is lamenting that people are saying, could this be Yerushalayim, the city that used to be so beautiful, that used to be the joy of all earth, and now it's desolate? But we see nonetheless from the verse that Yerushalayim is called the city. Therefore, when the Torah tells you, Baruch Ato Bo'ir, you'll be blessed in the city, it means that you'll be blessed in Yerushalayim, or you'll be blessed with Yerushalayim. Baruch Ato Basada, and you'll be blessed in the field, Zu Tzion, this is Tzion, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, in Yirmiyahu, chapter 26, verse number 18, Tzion, Sada Techoresh, that the Tzion is going to be plowed under as a field, meaning at the destruction of the temple, Yirmiyahu prophesies that Tzion is going to be plowed under. But nonetheless, since Yirmiyahu calls Tzion Asada, therefore the Torah tells you, Baruch Ato Basada, you'll be blessed in Sada, the Torah is referring to you'll be blessed with Tzion. Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky asks a question, if we are involved here in giving blessings on the Jewish people, why did the Medrash Tanchuma specifically pick to designate Yerushalayim as a city, a posuk in Eicha, which talks about the destruction of Yerushalayim, and the same thing regarding Tzion, where it talks about the destruction of Tzion? Why didn't they pick a posuk where it tells you the opposite, that Yerushalayim is going to be a city that is going to be rebuilt? Because there's actually a posuk in Tehillim, chapter 122, where it says, Yerushalayim habnuya keir shechubro lo yachdov. Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt like a city that was united together. So we see that there it's called like a city. So we see that Yerushalayim is also a city. What is the message that the Medrash Tanchuma wants to give us by quoting two psukim that involve destruction? And the answer is based on the Gemara in Brachas, Dav Zayin Omed Beis 7b. There the Gemara brings the first posuk in Tehillim chapter 3, where it says, Mizmur leDavid bevorchoi mipnei Avshalom bnoi, a song to David when he was running away from Avshalom his son. The Gemara asks a question, a song to David? Kinah leDavid miboilai, a lamentation to David should be written, because anybody that is being chased is a bad thing. Specifically, when you're chased by your own son, it's even a worse thing. Then how can David HaMelech say, Mizmur leDavid, a song to David? He should have said, a lamentation to David. The Gemara answers, Omar Rab Shimon ben Avishalom. Rab Shimon ben Avishalom gives an example of somebody who has a bill to pay. He has a promissory note on him. Before he pays, he said, because he never knows when the other person is going to produce the promissory note, he never knows if he's going to have money to pay, and he doesn't know the consequences that it may happen if he doesn't have money. But once he pays the debt, he's very happy, then he's not afraid anymore of anything, because he knows that the debt is already paid. The same thing on David HaMelech. When the prophet Nathan told him in Shmuel, Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that Koyomar Hashem, so did Hashem say, because of what you did to Bathsheba, Hineni Mekim Elecho Rami Beisecho, I will raise up evil from your own house, Velokachti Esnoishecho Leinecho, and I will take your women in front of your own eyes, Venosati le'reecho, and I will give to your fellow. Veshochav im neshecho le'enei ha'shemesh azois, and he'll lay if the women in front of this sun, meaning that David HaMelech was told that punishment is going to come to him. People are going to cause him evil and take his wife. David HaMelech thought maybe that he's going to be a slave or a mamzer that is going to come from my house who will not have mercy on me. Therefore, once David HaMelech realized that it was of a Shalom, he became happy. Therefore, the Gemara says, David HaMelech says, Mizmor le David, a song to David, and not a lamentation to David, because David HaMelech was now happy that it was Avshalom. In truth, this Gemara is very puzzling, because we know Avshalom chases David HaMelech in order to kill him. What does it mean that once he realized it was Avshalom, he realized that he's going to have mercy, and therefore he said, Mizmor le David, a song to David? The simple interpretation is that the history tells us that Achitofel gave advice to Avshalom to chase David that very night. And had Avshalom listened to Achitofel and chased David that very night, David HaMelech would have been caught and he would have been killed. To chase that very night, and had Avshalom listened to Achitofel that he would chase that very night, then David HaMelech would have been caught and David HaMelech would have been killed. But since Avshalom did not chase that night, because Avshalom all of a sudden asked for a second opinion, and the second opinion told him not to chase that night, therefore, David HaMelech was able to be saved. But had it been a mamzer or a eved, they wouldn't ask for a second opinion, and they would chase after David HaMelech right away, and David HaMelech would have been killed. The fact that Avshalom left David HaMelech that night gave chance for David HaMelech to escape. Therefore, David HaMelech says, Mizmor le David, a song to David, because he was being chased by Avshalom his son. Because had it been somebody else, probably David HaMelech would have been killed, because Achitofel's opinion would have been adhered to. But since it was Avshalom, and Avshalom asked a second opinion, therefore David HaMelech was able to run away. And this story is actually mentioned in Malachim Beis, chapter 17. But Rav Dushinsky brings a beautiful answer, and Rav Dushinsky explains that there are two forms of punishment. In other words, a person could have pain and could have suffering for two reasons. One, that it comes directly from Hashem, and Hashem is doing it in order to cleanse him from his sins and in order for him to have a world to come. And the second way that punishment and suffering could come is based on the mazel, based on the predestination, based on how you were born, when you were born. For example, as the Gemara brings down in Nidah Daf Tav Zayin Omed Beis 16b, where a malach, which is responsible for pregnancy, brings the fertilized drop in front of Hashem and asks Hashem, what is this going to be? Is it going to be strong or weak, wise or foolish, rich or poor? And even according to the opinion of the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kof Nun Vav Omed Aleph 156a, that Ein Mazel Israel, the Jewish people aren't influenced by celestial forces, by heavenly forces like stars, constellations, and the swords, that doesn't mean literally that they are not influenced. The Gemara explains that they are naturally influenced by stars, but through the power of prayer and good deeds, they could go above those star systems. Then Rav Dushinsky explains that it is possible that punishment and suffering will come to a person not because Hashem wants to cleanse him from his sins, just because it's from his mazel, it's from the way and the time that he was born. Rav Dushinsky then asks, how do we know for sure when the punishment is coming directly from Hashem in order to cleanse you and in order to cause you greater good in the world to come? He explains, when you see that the punishment is coming supernaturally, not in a normal way of the world, then you are sure that this punishment is coming in order to cleanse you and in order to cause you to have Olam Haba. And he explains the Gemara this way, that David HaMelech knew that punishment is going to come from his house. But David HaMelech was afraid that if punishment comes naturally, then maybe that is not the punishment that Hashem meant. Maybe he hasn't paid his debt yet by having this punishment. True that he's having a punishment, maybe from a mamzer or maybe from a slave. But if you'd come through them, David HaMelech would never be sure that the punishment, that the shtarchov, the bill that Hashem promised is going to come because of Bathsheba, has been cleansed. But once he saw that the person chasing him was his son, that is something supernatural. That is something that is not normal, because a son should not chase a father. Therefore, David HaMelech knew clearly that this was a design from Hashem in order to cleanse from his sin. He knew that this cannot be a natural order of the Mazalos for him to be chased by his son. Therefore, David HaMelech understood that this is the payment of the debt, the prophecy that Hashem said, that in order to cleanse for the sin of Bathsheba, somebody from his house is going to chase him. Then David HaMelech decided to say Mizmor David, a song to David, because David HaMelech was happy that now the punishment was here, and now he's going to have a portion of Olam Haba, because the sin of having relations with Bathsheba is no longer there, because Hashem cleansed it. According to this, Rav Dushinsky answers that this is the meaning of the Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma means to say that Baruch Ata Boir, that even nowadays where we see that Yerushalayim is destroyed, still Baruch Ata, still you are blessed. Since the Pasuk in Eichel says, could this be the city that was called perfect in beauty, joy of all the earth, and now it was so desolate, that means that people realize that this is not a natural punishment, this is not something that happens naturally, then obviously you know that Hashem directly did this. You know it's not from a mazel. You know that Hashem designed it in order to cleanse us from the sins, in order for us to benefit in the end. The same thing by Tzion. Since Tzion is now plowed under, and that is not the normal thing that people do, you know that this punishment came directly from Hashem. And if the punishment comes directly from Hashem, we know that it's made to cleanse us in order for us to have a portion of the Olam Haba. Therefore, he says, Baruch Ata Bo'ir, you are blessed even when you see Yerushalayim being destroyed, you are still blessed, because then you know that Hashem is going to rebuild it, you know that Hashem is going to fix it. Baruch Ata Basoder, you are blessed even when you see Tzion plowed under, because the fact that it's plowed under shows that it came directly from Hashem. And if it came directly from Hashem, you know that Hashem is doing it to cleanse us in order to make us good in the future. And that's why it's written, Baruch Ata Basoder, that you will be blessed even when Tzion is like a field that's going to be plowed under. Meaning that the Medrash Tanchuma is hinting to us that even though you are going to see tzores, but since those tzores are coming supernaturally, you'll know it coming directly from Hashem, and you know that in the same way that David HaMelech said Mizmor le David, a song to David, when bad things happen to him, we also know that these punishments are in order for us to get blessings at the end. And Hashem Yisburach should help that all the blessings that are written in this parsha should come true, that we should no longer see Tzion plowed under, we should no longer see Yerushalayim destroyed, we should see Yerushalayim betikana completely right, we should see Yerushalayim built up and being the beauty of all nations, and we should merit to see Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.